Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Holy Try Football Pod Week 10 Preview. The calendar's turned to November. It's about to get real. We got some news, some rankings coming out. A lot to get to this pod. It's me, AY, here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Joined, usual, to my west by Danberg. Actually, my south today.
I was just about to correct you at the soon-to-be new residence.
Wow.
I'm well. Beautiful day
Danberg,
today.
Future representative of the Mid-Atlantic region.
Correct, correct.
We're going below the Mason-Dixon next year. We're just trying to be diverse.
Trying to hit everywhere.
That's what we strive for.
This great American country of ours.
To my northeast New York City perch, Cam, what's up, man?
Nothing much. You know, 75 and sunny here in the city. Just what you think of when you think of November weather in the city. It's been very, very nice. I cannot complain, especially since I do not have my winter coats yet. This weather has been wonderful.
Cold mornings, warm days. Very, definitely unusual. Should chill down the weekend. This weekend, though, guys, we're out of the old rut of kind of softer slates. Some matchups this weekend for sure. We're going to dive into those. But first, something happened the last few days, news and notes-wise, and we're going to get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
As all you guys probably know by now, the rankings came out Tuesday night for the college football playoff. The committee released their first ranks of the year. And obviously, as many of you guys know, as they said to you guys, it is maybe my least favorite day of the season. I tweeted out, just remember, the committee hates your team. And these rankings are final. Because the overreactions are tenfold when these come out. And sure enough, yesterday did not disappoint across all spectrums, except for one town. Of course, Clemson, South Carolina, was the only one pleased with the rankings. They are number one in the initial top four, I guess you want to call it. It's a weird name. I don't know what to call it. But Clemson won, LSU 2. Ohio State 3, Alabama 4, Notre Dame 5, Baylor 6, Michigan State 7, TCU 8, Iowa 9, Florida coming in at number 10. Well, we didn't really talk about this in the production meeting or even at all yesterday. So, Ken, initial thoughts?
I have no problem with it, actually. Alabama's up there pretty high, and I'm sure they will have a chance to prove it really soon, a.k.a. this weekend. They're facing a very challenging LSU team, and I think they'll definitely earn their ranking if they do end up on top. I have no problem with the Big 12 teams falling behind either. They'll have their chance. As has been gone over on this podcast and many other publications, Big 12 slate, they like to backload their schedules, and all four contenders are going to be playing each other, so it's going to make for a very exciting November in the Big 12.
Yeah, indeed. Dan, initial thoughts?
Stanford should be in the top 10, in my opinion. I'd probably bump out Iowa, to be honest with you, and put Stanford ahead of them. Other than that, and Pitt not being in the top 4, I'm okay with it.
You would think I'd be absolutely stoked with this, with Notre Dame being 5, but I'm well aware of how fluid these rankings are, and judging by, just look at this list here, they're ranking, I think, more off the eye test. They're weighting eye test and resume, which I'm not a real huge fan of. If you go strictly by resume, you're not going to see a lot of things, but they definitely did take a lot of factors in here with Baylor and TCU being a little lower for the SOS. Obviously, they will have plenty of chances to move up. I think they're pretty fair. I know I'm not going to get too attached to these because, like I said, they're very fluid and things will change. I know I got into a few Irish fans saying, oh, it's good that we're number 5 now because it's better than being number 10. Yeah, but Notre Dame can go out and win by 40 the rest of the weeks, and Baylor can win by 20 and move up because SOS. Things are going to change. Sure, it's, I guess, get excited now if you want, but
there's no point.
There's no point. These are.
There's no point.
I don't want to say meaningless, but the closest word to meaningless, these are. They're talking points. They're fun to look at, I guess. Don't. Just remember, the committee hates your team, too. we'll keep an eye on that. I mean, you guys have your thoughts on this, or.
No, that's.
Just wait till, I guess, next week comes out, because things are going to change, obviously.
I do not think whoever wins the Baylor TCU game should be ranked ahead of the other. That's pretty much it.
Still holding that from last year. They did have Minnesota, though. You got to remember that.
Minnesota, the answer to the universe.
The answer to the universe, Minnesota. Jerry Soda.
Jerry Soda.
Yeah, this. These rankings just frustrate me, so I'm over them for now. Cool, they're out. Move on. There's a lot of games to be played still. You know what they always say too. The other cliche: things will sort themselves out.
Indeed.
Except for the fourth. There's always gonna be a debate with the fourth, but you're always gonna have that regardless of 4 teams, 8, or even the NCAA tournament, 64. You're always gonna have it. So, whatever. Otherwise, in the news and notes world, Georgia, some position changes all over the board.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you brought this to our attention. What's going on down there?
It seems that the Florida game and the world's largest cocktail party starter, Fatun Bauta, has now been moved to safety, or at least is practicing at safety, along with their punter for the game. The highest-rated 5-star quarterback, Uber recruit, Bryce Ramsey, is still number one and atop the depth chart at punters. So there's that. That is the situation, the non-quarter full-time starting quarterback situation at Georgia.
Could he win an NBA Finals MVP is the question.
Oh, could he win an NBA Finals MVP? That'll always be the question. Non-full-time starters.
That, I don't know what's going on there, Mark Richt, but... also, in other news, former Notre Dame running back Greg Bryant commits to free UAB.
Ah!
Excellent.
Love it. If he leads the resurgence, I won't be mad. You know what? I'm all for UAB. As long as you don't get, like, Gunnar Keel or Deontay Greenberg.
Oh, my.
News-wise, that's pretty much all we got. I mean, the rankings dominated the headlines, as we all expect. You see Heather Dinich's face everywhere.
As soon as the rankings came out, I ran upstairs immediately and said, Jeff Long, what the heck?
What is going on?
How is Florida number 10 and Alabama's number 4?
She is a pain in the keister, as they say.
If she married Dokish, I can believe that. Oh, yay. So, whatever, there's news and notes for you. The rankings, we'll hit on them every week, I guess. Give you quick thoughts. Big slate of games this week, guys. You guys want to jump into that?
I am ready to roll.
Good, because I'm reluctantly crouched and ready to go. starting off the week... Let's go with 3 games here to get a little more into it. The first match we're going to get to, number 8, TCU. 4.5, what is it, 5, 5.5? This is always changing on me. I don't have the update right in front of me. Point favorites at Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Ken, I know you were talking about this a little bit ago. What do you think here?
I have not been for much of this season impressed with Oklahoma State. No offense, Dan, but your Pokes, I'm not a believer. The defense, especially against these spread offenses, has not been very good. And even with some mediocre teams like Kansas State, like West Virginia, they've struggled. And
hey, there's something to be said for going 8-0, which is what they are right now, but I don't think they're on the same tier as the other three contenders in this conference. I like TCU here. Only 4.5 on the road. I like them to cover here by a large margin and several times the spread. I like them to win here, and so much so that I want you to lock this up for me, Dan.
Lock it up.
Lock it up. Listen, B, love them as a receiver. Second best receiver in the Big 12, amazingly. But he's going to go for 100 yards again. He's going to get 2 touchdowns again. And Trevon Boykin is going to be efficient as ever. Aaron Green will have a nice run as well. I like TCU here. We'll go 42-21.
I see your Oklahoma State struggling against Kansas State, and I raise you a TCU being down by 18 in the Little Apple. Again, you're trying to compare apples to oranges when it's apples to apples. TCU has not looked like great either at some points. Both teams are rolling right now, I think, at least if last week's any indication. No major injuries. Thank you, Don Best, once again. And this is the week that the chaos begins to ensue in the Big 12. Give me the Cowpokes 55-52 over TCU in Stillwater. That will not be my lock of the week, however.
And that's, wow. That'd be pretty amazing.
So it looks like I need to pick a side here to break the tie. And I'm siding with you, Can.
Oh!
Can's always right.
Not. Can is always right. When in doubt, go with Can. Mason Rudolph, yeah, you're playing decent. You know, they got a balance rush tie with, you know, Carson and Childs. J.W. Walsh, I don't know what he's doing, but I don't like him. David Glidden and James Washington. That's who it was. James Washington. There's a nice little 1-2 punch there. They put up decent numbers. 8-0. I mean, Mike Gundy's got them rolling. But let's see who they play. Central Michigan, Central Arkansas. Okay. UT San Antonio. Blitz them. Beat Texas by 3. We all remember that game. K-State by 2. West Virginia in overtime. Kansas, okay. And then Texas Tech, 70-53 last week. Big plays all over the place. Yeah, they can score. They've won all the games they should have. Still, I'm not buying it. Sorry. I think TCU just too much firepower. I do think chaos will take over the Big 12, and OK State will come back from this to maybe play a role in that. But this week, I think it goes on for a little longer. I like TCU in this game, 51-42. High scoring. It's still close. I don't think they're going to blow them out. And TCU in the road still kind of scares me. But I think Trevon Boykin is playing pretty good football right now, and they get the job done. Do not lock that up for me either.
Non-full-time lock.
As we head on to Saturday night, live from Alabama. The game day's in town. The Bayou, go Tigers, LSU, traveling to Alabama, 6.5-point dogs, 8 o'clock, Herbie and Fowler on the call. Dan, Little Red Fournette versus the Alabama D. How's this one going down?
The 2015 installment of my favorite game in 2014. Both teams off the bye. Should be razor sharp. I'd expect nothing less from these two fine coaches. I think from at least a betting perspective, you've got to take a look at how lucky Alabama's cover was last year for LSU to be leading for all that time and then go to overtime and lose by a touchdown. What was the spread? 6? Something along those lines. It may have been the Vegas zone, 4.5 or 5. Regardless, I think LSU gets the revenge against the spread. But I've got Alabama taking the game and marching on and potentially taking their spot in the playoff rankings, which, again, will mean nothing next week. But give me Alabama 20-17, a catch in this game by the incredible fat ass.
Oh!
Propels the tide to a win in Tuscaloosa.
Great. Good call.
Or is it?
Listen, Little Red Fournette
has not rushed for under 150 yards this year. And I think he still gets his yards against Alabama. Alabama's got a very stout top 10 defense, as they always do. Extremely talented defensive line, along with Reggie Ragland and that linebacking core. I think that he will get his rushing carries, even though they're going to stack the box. They've got a great secondary. Better than I think people are giving them credit for, especially the past couple seasons with their struggles. But I think they've got the talent there. They've recruited numerous five stars. They're going to put them on islands and make Brendan Harris, Trayvon Darrell, and Malachi Dupree beat them. Despite that, I think LSU will continue to try to ram it down the throat. Maybe sometimes feeling like they're bashing their head against the wall, but Leonard Fournette will get his yards. I think he's going to get close to probably above 150 because he hasn't been under it. We'll say like 158, right above 150. And LSU will have a little bit of success there. Maybe one big play here and there. Alabama, too much, though. At home with that Tuscaloosa crowd, I like them. Without the cover, but with the victory, I like them 24-20. And Coker will have a big mistake, I think, and you're going to see them lean heavily upon Derrick Henry, the human cement phone booth.
Wow, I've not heard that yet, but I like it. I am going to disagree.
Oh, Nelly.
Oh, no.
Kind of because I just want to say Alabama covers in this game. Oh. I think they cover 20-10, so that's a 10-point victory. That's a 3.5-point cover. I think the Little Red Fournette stalls out to a tune of 112 yards. I think that front seven, Robinson, Reed, Allen, and Petway, Foster, and Ragland, Dalvin Tomlinson, all those guys, they just make life really hard and force Harris to throw. Now, Harris has some good receivers in Dupree and Darrell. I think he might even make a play or two, but relying on Brandon Harris is not something I want to do. Now, you might say, whoa, you're going to rely on Jacob Coker? I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah, I guess I am. I think I sort of more or less I'm going to rely on the defense, the Derrick Henry. Reports I want to get Kenyon Drake more involved. Just think they'll wear him down. It's a tough place to play, I guess. These games are always close. We've seen it how many times throughout the years. The 9-6 game. Last year's game was phenomenal, like you said, Dan. Both off a bye. Both I do expect to be pretty sharp. Quarterbacks aren't that good. Maybe a defensive score for the Crimson Tide. And as down as I was in Alabama at the beginning of the year, I'm a humbled man who is open to change of opinion, and I did that right here in the last few weeks. Alabama, their spot in the playoff is pretty much in stone, so it's not wasting time. Let's just put them there now. Bama 20, LSU 10.
So you think they can contain Brandon Green?
Hurts me to say. I'm rooting for LSU, I think.
And you think they can contain Brandon Green, the incredible fat ass?
I would hope so.
He is number 58 now for those playing the home game. He was number 89 last year. I had to look him up.
That's news to me.
The tight end, as Vern says.
The last game we're going to get to go a little bit in depth on is Florida State plus 12 at your number one ranked team, Clemson. And we're going to really deep dive into this. We're going to get on Frankie Grizzle. You guys might know him as Red Lightning. Schedules and we just couldn't work out him coming on. Not sure, miscommunication, not sure what happened there. We apologize for that. That's kind of why we're dropping this on Friday morning. We didn't get the Missouri Mississippi State game in. Sorry, that's on now. You're missing a lot, but apologies for that. We are going to work diligently on getting on some other guests in the future of note, so stay tuned for that. But regardless, we dive into this Grizzlies. The Noles banged up, traveling to Little John. That's the basketball stadium, actually. But Death Valley, getting 12 against the Tigers and Dabo. Bring your own guts, Ken. What do you think?
It's hard. You gotta take out the king before you can call yourselves the king. Clemson is riding high, number one in the country. Well, you know they have, especially the past couple of years, have not been able to get over that hump with the Florida State Seminoles. last time they played them in Clemson was a bloodbath. And that time it was a top five matchup this week. They're coming in
top 16 matchup.
Top 16 matchup and pretty heavily favored now. What is it inflated to? The line?
12.
I think that's a little too much here. I think Florida State's going to be backs against their wall. Backs against the wall. Clemson, they're very, very, very talented, though. I think it'll be pretty back and forth, but with Clemson kind of stiff-arming their way to a pretty hefty lead early on, and Florida State making a very, very furious rally. I think Clemson will go by as many as like 21, and Florida State will cut it real short, cut it real close near the end, but not close enough. I think Florida State will come back, but ultimately fall, we'll say 38 to 30.
All right, good stuff, Dan. What do you think?
I think I will not believe Clemson won't completely fold in a spot like this, especially against Florida State, until I see it with my own two eyes. That may very well happen on Saturday, but I haven't seen it. I don't care that half of Florida State's team is banged up. We've said it before, this is probably, talent-wise, the deepest team in America. Yes, even over you, Alabama.
Yes.
And you are.
Again, I may very well see it Saturday. I'm not picking it, though, until I see it. Give me the Noles. Aguayo does not get a blocked field goal this time. 27-24. Seminoles.
Wow. Throwing college football universe into a tailspin.
Or the ACC playoff hopes, that is.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's, yeah. But opening the door up for Pitt.
True.
True. I got bone to pick with you guys. I don't know what to do. You know what? I'm going to go contrarian here. I'm going to say Clemson, fire up the boats here.
Oh!
Mm.
For the Notre Dame strength of schedule.
Yes, you know what? Maybe that's entirely what it is here, but I want Clemson to just look great. Florida State, we still know who they're starting quarterback. Is it going to be McGuire or Golson? McGuire looked great last week. Is he the key to this offense? I don't know. I think you just let Golson go out there and let it rip, see what he can do. He's put in big games before. McGuire has put against Syracuse and Clemson at home, so I'm not exactly sure there. Regardless, that Clemson deal with Brent Venables, it's all the talk, and deservedly so. They lost 9 guys, and they rebooted with McKenzie Alexander, Jayron Smith. And then on offense, I mean, Deshaun Watson, Wayne Gallman, Artavis Scott. The guys are playing some good football. They're definitely passing the eye test so far. That Miami game just sticking in my mind, too. They beat up a young guy. It's definitely, I don't know what I alluded to last week, put up or shut up for Notre Dame, but this is Clemson's game. I mean, I don't want them to get too invested in this as far as, like, too emotionally in, but I think they handled it pretty well against Notre Dame. All the hype, all the big game talk, the media, the attention, they came out and played a great first half. I think they keep it going here. They got crushed 2 years ago. That's got to count for something. Last year they beat Florida State, I mean, by all intents and purposes, except for that late fumble and the overtime loss.
They beat him, but they didn't.
The old Duke-Miami game. So, 12, I mean, it's a big number, but at the end of the day, if you see like a 38-24 game, that doesn't really scream boat race, but I mean, it could have been, well, depending on who scores last. So just give me Clemson here to cover the 12, win by 14 points, 38-24. Maybe not a boat race, but I just like saying that, as you guys know. Clemson here, making the Irish look even better. I need it.
I think Everett is going to play on Saturday.
I think that's the right call. I mean, McGuire is a hot hand for last week, but...
And he is 1-0 lifetime versus Clemson.
Florida State season right here. They need a win.
Yep. They still... You're crazy, and I don't care. I mean, maybe I'm buying into the FSU Twitter, but I think you're crazy to think Florida State's out of it at this point.
You're not crazy. You are not crazy, but it'll be tough for the one-loss ACC team to make it in, tell you that much.
Yeah, but they've got Florida still, who will probably hold serve until that game, and then they've got, you know, Pitt. I mean, that counts for something, right? Just kidding. Just kidding. But if they do play an 11-1 North Carolina team, book it.
Question. The, should the Clemson Tigers fall, where does Notre Dame get ranked next week in the playoff rankings if they beat Pitt?
Depends on how well they beat Pitt, or how, by how much, or how impressively.
I don't want to look past that. We'll get to that Pitt preview in a little bit. Do not want to think about that.
If I'm just, I will say if it goes, but if it goes what at least one of us is how at least one of us is expecting it to go, and Clemson loses, I think Notre Dame may slide a bit.
If you're if you're an Irish fan, you want Clemson to win this game by 60.
Yep.
Because if the first ranking showed us anything. Sure, it's a bunch of things, but one thing I definitely saw, and a lot of people saw, is that Notre Dame is benefiting from Clemson looking so good. And you want that to continue. Clemson, as good as they can be, makes Notre Dame look even better. The committee showed it, and we've seen it now. So Clemson, Irish fans, definitely want them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. It looks like we have six games here, guys. For a little weather, we like to call the lightning round.
Eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Boom. Starting off, Bloomington, Indiana. The Midwest, 7-point spread here. The undefeated Iowa Hawkeyes. Maybe Brad Banks will be in the sidelines. 7-point favorites over Indiana. I'll start this one off. Hawkeyes, save yourself the embarrassment of getting drilled in the Big Ten Championship game. I think they do lose this game.
Oh, my Hoosiers, goodness.
Hoosiers 24-20. Beathard's a little bit banged up. Sudfeld, Howard, and my boy Simi Cobbs get the victory.
Ooh.
Good gracious.
Good gracious. Dan, man, what do you think?
We will still be talking to our kids about an undefeated Iowa, but it's after a narrow 5-point victory. Hoosiers cover.
I'm going against you. I got Iowa going to cover here. Indiana defense is not very good. Iowa will control the ball. Their defense is above average, and I think that's good enough to stymie this high-powered offense. They're going to win here by 10 points, 31-21.
And most importantly, Pitt SOS.
Pitt SOS.
Sticking with the Big Ten, the perennially overrated Michigan State Spartans traveled to Lincoln. 6-point favorites over Nebraska. Can resident Big Ten, what we got?
Mike Riley will feel the heat a little bit more each week he loses, and this will be another one of those losses. I see Michigan State here going in there. They're all business. They got their eyes set on that matchup in a couple weeks, and they're going to run through all these opponents here, even though they're looking ahead. They are focused. They're trying to make their statement here. They're going to go into Lincoln, and they're going to win by 3 touchdowns, 42-21.
Okay, Dan.
Sparty, big. It's time to beef up that playoff resume.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just digging when you guys are zagging this week. This line makes nonsense. It opened at 4.5.
Why?
4.5?
4.5.
Makes zero sense.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
That tells me enough that I'm the fact that I'm thoroughly confused. Give me Nebraska in that Riker Fife.
Oh, Sparty, gosh. No, Armstrong is playing.
Riker Fife's still going to be at the game.
So you want to go Fife?
You want to go Fife?
You want to go Fife?
You want to go
Fife. Sparty 34-31. Another heartbreaker for Riley.
Oh, man.
ACC, fresh off the win, the loss. Duke, 8-point dogs in Chapel Hill. They're playing football this time. Dan.
Second most important game of the weekend for me. Duke, are they devastated or motivated? I'll go motivated. And we know Pitt needs this one. 30-27, Dukies.
Ken.
Duke's got a good defense here, and I think it's good enough for them to stymie UNC's offense. You saw that once Pitt made some adjustments, they were able to kind of hold them down last week. Same deal here. Duke hangs in there, and I think they get a hard-fought victory to get muddy up that Coastal Division some more, 20-17.
In the F-plus rankings, Carolina 34th, Duke 6 spots better at 28th. And I'm getting 8 points. The Coastal's weird. No points needed. Blue Devil was 30. Tar Heels 26.
The Dan Brady theorem.
The Dan Brady. We're putting it to the test.
Okay.
USA in the Naval Academy traveled to the disrespected Memphis 21 in the first rankings. Navy 24. No, I'm sorry. That's the F plus. 3 spots difference. An 8-point spread. Interesting. Navy at Memphis. Memphis minus 8. Dan.
One group of 5 undefeated team has gone down this week already. Memphis is the second in unfamiliar waters with Navy's triple option. Middies 34-31.
Whoa!
Chaos is ensuing, I'm telling you.
Chaos is ensuing, but I have faith in Justin Fuente's defense. He had a great one a couple years ago, you remember?
Yeah, not anymore.
It sounds like you have a lot of faith in that. Is that a question? Yeah.
The one a couple years ago. It hasn't been as good, but I think that they will main up here. Assignment defense, they'll have them humming. And that offense, Paxton Lynch, he's a tall drink of water that can really sling the ball around. Memphis is going to win here, and they're going to win not big, but we'll say like by 18 points, something like that. 35-23, something like that. That's not 18 points.
35.
They're gonna cover, yeah, something like that.
You mentioned Paxton Lynch. McShay was on Russell and Canelo pod and said first pick in the draft. Who would he take? Paxton Lynch.
Get the fuck out of here! Oh,
if you're the Lions, he's saying get rid of Stafford. But you said you have faith in Justin Fuente. Well, we all know I have faith in Ken Niumatalolo. SOS, give me that Irish fit the schedule. Let a possible lookhead spot for the Tigers with Houston on deck. Memphis scrapes out a 27-23 victory over Ken Niumatalolo. Going out west after dark, boys. Utah, weird game. Washington opened up 1-point dog, another 1-point favorite after dark, Ken.
Oh, yeah. I like Utah here. Buying low. People forget about them 2 weeks after being a top 5 team. They're still pretty good out there. And they're going to play some grown man football with Washington, who's trying to build a little brand of that themselves. Utah's going to show them how it's done. They're going to win here 24-14.
Dan, what do you think?
I'm all up in that 9-3 Utah train. Utes 20-14.
Let's just keep this zigzag and go. And Chris Pearson gets things going. Up 41-31.
Holy moly.
Holy moly.
Cincinnati, 8-point dogs traveling to Houston. Remember, Houston's got Memphis next week. Dan, Austin. What do you think?
Letdown look ahead potential. Gunnar Keel builds off his impressive performance last week, but the Cats fall a bit short. 38-37 Houston. The Riverboat Gambler goes for 2 and does not get it. I keep picking this. It's going to happen one of these weeks.
Gotta stay on my Houston Cougars. Like I mentioned before, that defense showing a little something here with throwing that shutout against a high-powered Vanderbilt team, right? Maybe not so much, but this Houston team's for real. That offense is for real, and the defense can play a little bit too. I like them here 38-24.
Yeah, Ken, we're going opposite again here.
Uh-oh.
Cougars in a classic letdown look ahead, just off that tough game with Vandy. Looking ahead to Memphis, it really pains me to back grizzly-looking Gunnar Keel. Same score, Dan, 38-37. Both American teams escape to set up a wild game in a week and a half.
Should be sweet.
Wow.
Two more here, guys. Auburn. Travels to College Station. 7.5-point favorites are the Aggies. Kyler Murray is greater than Sean White. 37-24 A&M. Dan, do you agree?
I disagree. I liked how Auburn fought on the Plains last weekend. And after all, they were one of my playoff teams, so I guess I'll pick them to cover. 24-18 A&M.
Can't do it. continuing to try to find dumb buyers to buy my Auburn stock.
I'll take some.
Yeah. Texas A&M at home. Kyler Murray's getting this offense going a little bit. Auburn, they don't, and they still probably can't. Sputtering around a little bit. I like Texas A&M here. Let's go 31-21.
Okay. Do you guys have any other games you'd like to go over?
I've got one.
Ah!
Heading over to Division II territory. We are just a mere 2 weeks outside of picking our playoff brackets, as we've done for one year in a row. Clarion, traveling to the Rock, Slippery Rock, number 10 in Division 2, minus 13.5. I set this line myself, so I hope it's pretty good. And I'll go ahead and pick it. How can you go against the hometown kid, Zach Patterson, the offensive coordinator? Rock by three tuds.
Gotta go with Cal Perry here. Clarion's gonna win.
Oh, the spring of the upset.
Man. Yeah, gotta go with Clarion. Gotta go with Cal Perry, and gotta go with Tad Zendrick. No offense.
Is Zach Patterson related to the Holy Tribe troll Mike Patterson?
He is the younger brother.
Okay, I'm fading that then. Give me. So I'm taking the points here.
You would be taking 13.5.
Hell, I don't even need him. Straight up.
Oh, we disagree.
DIS agree with a diss in front of it. Wait, so what's this matchup? Clarion versus who? I don't have the paper in front of me.
Oh, sorry, Slippery Rock.
The Rock.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I think The Rock beat Bloom at least once in the last few years, so I can't do that. I can't go against my all my Bloom folk.
Schedule. Gotta go strike the schedule.
SOS, baby.
Just wait till they play the Bloom folk. Maybe they already did.
I don't think that actually. I was looking at their schedule. I don't think they did play it.
Now we're gonna get to the Holy Try games of the week. Big week for us, guys.
Huge.
You want to go over Penn State first?
That's fine. See what type of time frame we're looking at.
Penn State, big one here, and this is a very important one because I think, especially after that first game of the season, many people were in disaster mode for Penn State. Asking if they'll make it to a bowl game, asking if they'll make it to 6-7 wins. It would be a miracle. But they get a victory this weekend. They'd be sitting at 8-2, and I think that'd be a great season, even if they dropped the last two games of the season. So this is pivotal, because I think it's really a big difference. There's really a big difference between a 7-5 Penn State team and an 8-4 Penn State team, even though it's only one win. And Dan, we have discussed this before about the difference between one or two wins in a college football season.
And you feel one way, and I feel another.
Yes, and I do feel like, especially with the way the season started, an 8-win season is definitely an accomplishment. And anything from here on out, if they do get this victory, is gravy on top. And that being said, they've got a formidable challenge in front of them, a team that started the season 5-0, including one of the most impressive victories of the season, as it has turned out. Northwestern, obviously a signature victory on opening day against Stanford, which has turned out to be a top-10 team in some eyes, and not in some others. Northwestern stormed out to the 5-0 start before they got absolutely dismantled, shut out by Michigan, followed that up with the homecoming loss to Iowa, in which they got blown out as well. Since then, they've bounced back with a gutsy victory in Lincoln, Nebraska, over what is debatably a bad to very bad Nebraska team. And we've got a bye, and here we are. Northwestern is a team that is very good on defense. They play conservative football. They run the ball with Justin Jackson, though you'll see that they have the production has teetered off a little bit for Justin Jackson. They will lean on him heavily because Clayton Thorsett will not be much of a passer. You will see that his passing efficiency has gone down throughout the season, and teams have figured out to allow him to pass. He had some success running the ball, and he ran the ball, I think, for a season high about 11 times against Nebraska. But they will look to have him try to throw the ball more, I think, versus run. And this is what a lot of teams want him to do.
it's the key because he's not very good at running the ball, and he caught a lot of teams off guard with that. But now they've figured out to allow him to throw, and that's something that he's struggled with. Penn State defensively, they've struggled against running quarterbacks, which is a key here because he's not that good of a runner, but he can escape the pocket. We mentioned that he ran the ball 9 times against Nebraska. You got to keep him contained and force him to throw the ball because, like I said, I think that's the key to keeping this attack under wraps. He's okay to a little bit above average at throwing the ball. Penn State's defense coming off a shutout against Illinois. I think they're playing with a lot of poise. They are taking a different approach now on game weeks, doing less hitting, less running, trying to keep fresh because a lot of the coaches felt like they were getting worn down in those Ohio State Maryland games. You'll get that now as we're getting into week 11 of the season, or week 10 of the season, excuse me, without a bye for Penn State. A lot of those legs are getting tired. Offensively, we mentioned that Northwestern's defense is pretty good. But offensively, Penn State, I do expect them to try to attack them with a similar game plan as they've been using the last couple of weeks, running the ball, a little bit of toss sweeps and running the ball with Saquon Barkley, trying to take the top off the defense. Illinois, as I mentioned a couple days ago, employed a really strange defense in which they probably did everything to try to make Hackenberg as comfortable as possible. They turned on the game tape from the first 9 games of the season and basically did the opposite as what other teams did, what other teams were successful doing. I don't think Fitzgerald will do anything similar here because he's actually a good coach, a good defensive coach at that. I look forward to seeing his team bring pressure and some exotic blitzes, especially after a bye week. I think that they will try their best to make Hackenberg uncomfortable by bringing extra pressure here. With that being said, Hackenberg needs to be good with his checks, needs to be able to check out of plays and get to his check downs as quickly as possible. And hopefully if he has a little bit of time, we'll be able to exploit the defense and what should be man coverage on the back end against a somewhat decent but pretty average secondary in Northwestern. I look forward to Penn State exacting a little bit of revenge here. They got smacked around on homecoming last year, which was a really strange game. That was kind of the first time the sacks reared their ugly head. Penn State was pick 6 last year as well as sacked for a fumble deep in the red in their own territory. Northwestern stunned an undefeated Penn State team last year and was the beginning of a downturn for Penn State. I think they've learned from this. They won't overlook a Northwestern team. And I look forward to a victory on the road. Very gutsy performance here. I think Penn State will cover. I think they will win on the road. And, you know, then maybe the Penn State fan in me, but I'm looking forward to a 20-13 victory here in Evanston.
Good deal, Ken. Get that revenge, son. No, I think you pretty much hit that there. I honestly have none clue how this game is going to go. So in that case, just give me the points just to be safe.
17-16.
I really don't know.
I get 17-16, Penn State.
Wow.
You know what?
That sounds about right, actually.
I need to catch up, so give me 21-20 Cats.
Ooh.
The Wildcats, not the big Cats.
Can.
But 21-20 still doesn't have him cover. Penn State still covers. Yeah.
Could this be the Big Toe Joe? Could this be the Big Toe Joe redemption?
Oh, I don't know. Because he's been benched twice now, and he still sits atop the depth chart at the moment. At least that's the release depth chart from a couple days ago after the game. We'll see. I assume he'll have a really short leash if he is out there again, because we're just counting down the days until Quentin Nordin shows up, if he ever does show up and he doesn't decommit and go to Michigan. Hopefully he will.
Or Justin Yoon transfers.
Or Justin Yoon transfers. Oh, boy. I'd buy his jersey. And put Yoon on the back. Unabomber on the back.
Oh. Yoon.
Spelled like Yoon. Steven Yuna or
Yes, definitely smelled like Steven Yeun.
Good stuff there, Ken. Yeah. Good game. That should be a decent game. What time is that game at noon?
Yeah, 11 Central. I expect a very sluggish start from both teams.
In the other game, the Holy Try for the week.
First ever joint preview.
2-1. First
ever joint preview. This is foreign territory for us.
Efficiency metrics here. How efficient are we going to be in this?
Three teams in two previews. As much as we wanted to do.
Irish 9-point favorites in Heinz Field against Dan's Pitt Panthers. Noon kick. The first noon kick for the Irish since last time they were in Pitt. We remember that game, Dan.
Oh, do we ever.
Irish are just used to being in prime time all the time. They're a premier program.
So, I mean, I do think that could maybe play be an issue in order to maybe playing these a lot of primetime games and having played on the road last week. Prime time, getting home late, early kick this weekend. I don't know. I saw Pitts bring out all the stops, bringing in Dan Marino, Johnny Majors, Tony Dorsett. They're all going to be in town at the game. I don't know what to say. Dan.
Andrew Taglianetti,
yeah.
Cult favorite.
PCC zone. What are you expecting here? What are you looking for? What's something we should know about this game, Dan?
To pick up from my recap, it seems like everyone's healthy. I read some quotes today, just guys being banged up and or maybe taking a day off from practice, but that's about it. No serious injuries coming from that North Carolina defeat, so that's very nice. I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record in terms of Pitt's keys to win this game, but I think you guys know it. Say it if you know it. Ball control is going to come into a play. If they can dominate the time of possession like they have done more often than not, and maybe just get a couple more big plays than they did from that 2011 snoozer. I think Pitt's going to have a great chance to win. They, for whatever reason, have played Notre Dame tough as long as I can remember, outside of the 2005 thriller that they lost by 24 at home. But yeah. Samardzija's coming out party. Actually, I think that was more of a joint coming out party by everybody on the Notre Dame sideline. Defensively, Kaiser, if you get a shot at him, make sure. Here's what I want to do. I want them to make sure everybody's eyes get tested before this game, so they're not make sure they're not seeing multiple guys whenever they're rushing the passer and actually can finish a damn play and make a sack. If Pitt does that 3 or 4 times, it's going to be a tight one.
You know who needs to get their eyes checked?
Everyone on the Pitt front seven?
Freaking Pat Narduzzi says he didn't see Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, right, yeah, I did catch that picture. I don't know what...
when he is standing right next to him.
I don't know what that's all about, to be honest.
Why is he trying to sneak around like that?
Beats me. And Will Fuller will probably have 2 long catches in this game. It's just a matter of how big they'll have an impact. He will have an impact on this game, that's for sure. Lafayette Pitt's trend has not been upward since his freshman year.
You were saying how you need to get some big plays. You guys do have Tyler Boyd.
Like two.
Might be the most dangerous, him and like a Dory Jackson or Juju Smith-Schuster. He's up there with them for sure as far as playmaking ability. And you've seen enough Notre Dame this year to know the big plays they give. Yeah. I fully expect Boyd to get one of them against, especially with Shoemate being out for the first half. I know they're rotating in Matthias Farley, Nicky Baratti, who made that great tackle on Jahad Thomas's pitch touchdown run. Didn't lay a finger on him. I do expect them to exploit. And the free safety, Max Redfield, I mean, my boy and all, that guy gets lost out there.
Yeah.
So
you just hit people hard.
If I'm Peterman and Pitt, I'm definitely testing the deep thirds early in this game and seeing what the Irish are going to do, because they could look stout for 5, 6, 7, 8 plays in a row. And you saw even Temple did it. Everyone's done it. UMass has done it. Trickeration, big plays. You're going to get 1 or 2. Just, I guess, I hope you score on them.
Yeah.
Just to make things easier on yourself.
Yeah, another thing I want to point out, there's probably going to be at least a half dozen swing plays in this game where momentum's going to go back and forth a little bit. If Pitt gets 3 of those, look out, because it's going to be a big crowd. Probably, I'd even go 60-40, to be honest. Pitt to Notre Dame. There's going to be a lot of Notre Dame fans at this game, per usual. But
no thanks to Jesse Soko.
No thanks to, yeah. Felt the need to rub it. I'm seriously contemplating putting two Michigan or Penn State Michigan tickets on the company card and then selling them to Michigan fans. Just to get better. Because I hope my sarcasm is coming through. This is completely tongue-in-cheek. But I don't know why she felt the need to let me know that she sold her tickets to Notre Dame fans. As if it wouldn't have happened. There's a 75% chance anyone who's selling those tickets is selling them to Notre Dame fans. Because the Pitt fans that aren't selling them mainly got the season tickets just for this game.
True.
So, but yeah, if they get split the swing plays in this game, maybe a block punt, I may get an erection.
Well, they had a block punt last week.
Yeah, and then they couldn't turn into six. But I just they're gonna have to run all punt blocks back for touchdowns. I think this is gonna be a tight one. I do like Pitt to cover, but I am going to pick the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I'll go 27-21 Irish, win this one.
There's definitely going to be some swing plays. Both teams, I don't know as far as Pitt putting up big plays, but I know Notre Dame gives up big plays, like I just said. Notre Dame definitely gets their fair share of big plays. Would be Fuller, pro size. You got to get him going. Get him going downhill, like we said on the review pod. Unlike what Ken always says, stop running sideways. I agree, Ken. Get him running downhill. Then he can work his way to the outside. He is that Darius Walker acceleration, except a lot faster than Darius Walker. And then can carry it, actually. Get him downhill. Get Adams and Williams some carries. Mix it in there. Kaiser, keep him running the ball. His passing, I mean, I'm very confident with him back there. He's a big guy, 6'4", 260. Like Dan was saying, you got to get a hand on him. Yeah, wrap him up. Basically, it's like Marquise Williams Jr., kind of. It's the same build with last week. Find Fuller, Chris Brown, hold on to the ball, hopefully. Just get the line working. And then on defense, I mean, Boyd is definitely dangerous. I know the run game for Pitt has not been as good this year. It's not a surprise without Connor being, I mean, no Connor there. But I really think you need to force them to be one-dimensional and then stop Boyd. That safety concern really worries me, and Boyd himself scares me. He could go for 12 for 180 and would not be surprised at all. I think it's going to be a close game for sure. The last eight games have been, I think, 4-4. The last six games have been 7 points or less. We got some triple overtime games in there. We got some absolute clunkers in there. Tom Reese, the quarterback.
Yeah, and Christ.
I just do not like this. I mean, it was in the beginning of the year. This game is just terrible. I felt more confident at the beginning of the year at Clemson. I don't think Clemson would be this good, but they are now. Still definitely nervous about this game for obvious reasons. I mean, all the hype, Notre Dame saying, the fans are talking about, oh, we need this team to lose, we need this team to lose. Let's worry about Pitt first, guys. Jesus.
Win the games, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah. I mean, most I saw was that whole game against Carolina. You could see, you see him getting better. I watched the Narduzzi Pitt press conference. He was saying the way you were saying, Dan. You can kind of feel it as Pitt, like, really starting to get something going here. I know they took a step back last week with Carolina, but just in general, they can feel things shaping the way they want it to be. And I do think this is going to be a good game, another close game. These Pitt games are always close, like we were saying. I think Pitt covers the spread 9 points way too much in such a big rivalry game. You just never know. Throw the records out. That's what they say.
Throw the records out.
I like Pitt to cover here. I like Notre Dame to have a big quarter. I think it's the third quarter. Besides that, look pretty blah. And Pitt is just very pesky. A lot of this game lasts for the Temple game. It's going to be a lot like it. I think Notre Dame does eke out the victory, though. 33-27, and Pitt has the ball last.
Wow.
Okay.
As far as doing this game, first half, should be fine at a buddy's place in downtown Bloom. This weekend, third quarter, I'll be in a church. So I'm going to have my phone fired up on mute, watching the whole third quarter there. And start the fourth. There's a bar a block away from the church. I'll be running there after the ceremony.
Catch that final possession that Pitt has, right?
Yeah, hopefully you get picked up. And if we have time, back to
you know, a mile away to the one house or just watch it there. I don't know. We'll figure it out logistically. But second half is up in the air for sure.
You're meeting up with Conductor in Bloom, aren't you?
No, I would not see him or Ocker. As
is he dropping your glasses off at your parents?
Oh, I will see a Conductor then. Maybe.
Maybe.
One last thing I wanted to add. Real quick, this is what happens when I don't write down my notes. Interested to follow how much playing time Quadri Olsen gets. That was another thing I touched on the recap. He must have had a bit of a tiff with Jim Chaney. And I'm interested to see how much time he gets if they can bury the hatchet, because this is a big game. What do you think, Ken?
I like Notre Dame here, unfortunately for Penn State's strength of schedule next year. But maybe fortunately for Penn State's recruiting classes in the next coming months. I like Notre Dame here. I'll go with, let's go 28-17.
And you will be rooting for Notre Dame, correct?
Yeah,
I don't know.
If you had to wear a shirt for the game, which team are you putting on?
I'm putting on a Holy Try football shirt.
No.
Half green and half royal blue. The lettering is both gold and mustard colored yellow.
I'm not buying it.
I hate both teams. No, I do not hate Pitt. I hate Notre Dame. Pitt just annoys the hell out of me, especially people like Dokish and Zoltan.
And Ski.
AKA Zavko. It's tough. It's tough here. In the interest of actual tangible helpfulness, I hope that Pitt loses so that Penn State will maybe continue to reap benefits from the Whippy OS. I think if the late season swoon does arrive for Narduzzi, some of those prospects that were maybe leaning towards that way may see the light.
Okay, good stuff. McCann likes the Irish, Dan, I like Pitt. Interesting. All right, guys, time for our favorite part of the week. So we're doing good, so we're doing bad. Locks of the week.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
2-1 last week, guys. Good work with it. Help me out there. That lucky troll, Patterson, hit his. He's back again this week. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, kids. Holy Try Troll here with your true lock of the week. I was having a little trouble with the time change, daylight savings time and all. Then I started listening to AY's Breeders' Cup preview, put me right to sleep. AY, looks like you got a second career in hypnotherapy, because you sure as hell can't pick a football lock. Danny, did the shake weight every time Oklahoma State scored? They put a little muscle in his arms? Not too worried, though. You're like the Pitt Panthers. Build up a little confidence and then fall apart quicker than a wet newspaper. You can. Your locks of the week are more like gimmies. This week you're going to tell me the Washington Sentinels are going to cover over Dallas with Shane Falco at quarterback. Come on, man. Pick a lock. This week, I'm taking Minnesota plus 23.5 over Ohio State with your true lock of the week.
Patterson playing the emotional card there. Rising up for Jerry Soda. Smart. Cardale, 12-gauge. All right, Patterson, we see you. We're about to go 3-0, though, here, son. So we're going to catch up. Per usual, Dan starts off.
This is a pretty simple one for me. We talked about it in the lightning round. I think Michigan State is going into Lincoln and will absolutely blow the doors off the Cornhuskers in that Riker Fife that I will hopefully find out what it is. Give me Sparty 41-17.
Riker Fife.
Riker Fife.
You want to go Fife?
You want to go Fife?
I want to go Frog here. Lock them up. Give me TCU. -4.5, they're
going to
win by 21. Lock them up.
Solid picks, guys. I think we're definitely set to go 2-0 there. And moving 3-0 here with this one. Kentucky travels to Georgia.
Ah.
The spread's 14, but I don't care. The over-under, 58. Are you kidding me? You got Bryce Ramsey at punter and Phaeton Bauer at freaking safety. You would think points would be scored. That just goes to show you how much confidence they have in their offense. First one to 20 wins, under the total 58. Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Games not to watch. We got a few this week, but Dan, I think you got one in particular.
Yes. Tomorrow night, or tonight, or last night, depending on when we drop this one, Nevada traveling to Fresno, California on the Deuce, 10:30 Eastern. Just go to bed. Or turn on Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Yeah, don't watch Central Florida Tulsa. 0-19, just don't watch them.
Never.
I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I'm not even going to tempt you.
The ESPN News.
This weekend, guys, real quick, plans. I told you I'm going I'm at the Bloom. Got a wedding for the lovely Maria Hergen and Jason Noltz. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see some Bloom folk there, and that'll consume my whole Saturday. What about you guys?
Looking forward to a football-consumed Saturday for me. First time in a little bit, Penn State's off, or not within viewing for me live, so I'll be heading back home, getting some laundry done, and watching a lot of football. Hopefully it'll get weather get cooler, and I'll be snuggled up on the couch. It'll be nice.
Don't forget your coats.
Don't forget the winter coats. Do not forget the winter coats.
And I will be in attendance Saturday noon, Heinz Field. We got a big one that we just previewed. And then I will be celebrating roommate of the pod, Caseman. I don't think he knows how to work iTunes, so he does not listen. He just asked me who he picked, and then I'm pretty sure he picks the opposite. We'll be celebrating his promotion. Congratulations, Case. Off to St. Louis.
Off to St. Louis.
Yeah, external sales rep for Federated Investors. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Case Man.
Good deal. Thanks for listening, guys. Tell your friends. And a special shout-out to friend of the pod, Steve Roth, who by now is he's in Knoxville, Tennessee for the volunteer game this week against South Carolina. That's going to be a lot of fun for him, I'm sure. Might even get the tailgate. We'll have to have him on in the coming weeks to report back to us about
absolutely.
That.
Get him on Sunday, depending on when he gets back.
Absolutely, yes, we will. So maybe, actually, yeah, I'll reach out to him shortly. Look for that. Really want to hear about his trip down to the SEC country and all that. Check us out on Twitter, HolyTrackFootball, or send us an email, HolyTrackFootball@gmail.com. Appreciate you guys listening. Tell your friends. That's all I got, guys. Any parting shots?
I got nothing.
So appreciate it, guys. It's me, AY, here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital, Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. And to my west, D-Burg.
Good night, all.
And to my northeast, Kanzu.
Have a wonderful, wonderful night. And be safe, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.